Mr. Holsinger.
Good morning, Your Honor. Good morning to the court. My name is Clark Holsinger. I represent Nancy Hayes in this appeal from the district court in Hammond before the Honorable Joseph Van Bocklin. In 2006, Nancy Hayes obtained a birth certificate of another individual, then obtained a driver's license, and then the passport in which is involved in this case. In 2007, during a visit, supervised visit with her daughter, she took her daughter and herself and fled to Mexico. The Lincolnshire, Illinois police and the FBI located her in Mexico, returned her to Illinois. She was charged in Illinois with child abduction, a class 4 felony, to which she pled guilty and was sentenced to 3 years and served a year and 14 days on that when she was released from the Illinois Department of Corrections, at which time she was indicted by the federal government out of the District of Hammond for the false statements to obtain a passport. During that time period, she was detained at the Bradley House. While that case was pending, she eventually pled guilty to the passport and was sentenced by the court, using the guideline 2J1.2, which is the guideline upon which the federal parental abduction charge would use. And there are two reasons why that shouldn't have been used in this case. She had already been sentenced for the abduction, and that the planning and the investigation of that case in Illinois and the eventual pleading and sentencing in there took into account the abduction case in whole. She was charged for what the Lincolnshire and FBI took to get her back to Illinois. She pled. She was sentenced to a total of 3 years. The appropriate sentencing guideline in this case would have been, in that situation, 2L2.2, which is the one for which the false statement to obtain a passport, according to the advisory guidelines. Now, there is a cross-reference that brings you to the 2J1.2. However, since that was all taken into account in Illinois, it shouldn't take place here. But even if 2J1.2 is taken into account, you should only use the base level and not those things that were already taken into account in the abduction charge. Also, when you get to the portion of 2J1.2 where you use the substantial expenditures, that was the investigation of the underlying case. Nothing new, nothing extraordinary out of that. And that 3 points should not be used to enhance Nancy Hayes. And for those bases on the guideline, the appropriate thing on a case in which we have the passport and the guideline, the abduction, we're all together. It's been 2 years since the arrest and conviction of Nancy. We come back with the passport, and now we add it back on and in again. Also, in my brief, I referred to ask the judge, I believe, should have used some of that time that she was being detained or restricted to the Bradley House in the sentencing calculations. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Ms. Berkowitz.
May it please the court, Diane Berkowitz of the United States. In response to counsel's argument, he indicates that the use of the obstruction guideline is inappropriate here. However, it is clear when you take a look at the sentencing guidelines that simply because the defendant is charged with obtaining a false passport, that is not the end of the analysis in the guidelines. She obtained that false passport because she intended to abduct and, in fact, did abduct her child. And she was going to use that passport in an effort to cross the border of the United States, in this case into Mexico. There is no evidence clearly that she did actually use that passport, that she needed to show it to the border authorities in Mexico, but it was there and available to her in the event that she did need to use it. And we do have some evidence that she relied on the identity of that phony passport. When she was finally tracked down by the FBI in Mexico, she initially advised the agents that she was indeed Dawn Hamrose. That's the name of the that's the name that appears on the fraudulent passport. Additionally, counsel says there is no basis for, or counsel indicates that there should be further reduction of this defendant's sentence because she served time pending her sentencing in this case. There is absolutely no authority for that, and in fact, this court in Casanos has stated that the district court lacks jurisdiction over that matter. That is something that should be, that is addressed by the Bureau of Prisons. Finally, the defendant's sentence is a reasonable sentence. While, yes, she was charged in Illinois in a state court proceeding for child abduction, that was taken into consideration in the sentence she received in the district court in Indiana. Her original guideline calculation was a level 19, which would have been 30 to 37 months. Because the court took into consideration her sentence in the Illinois State Court, she was given a sentence of 12 months and one day, clearly a below-guideline sentence. Given the fact that this is a reasonable sentence, given the fact that there is no basis for the court to have further diminished this defendant's sentence as a result of her serving time pending her sentencing, the government would ask that this court affirm the judgment of the district court. Thank you.
I'd like to ask just one question, please. I would think that most international parental kidnappings would be relatively expensive to investigate and prosecute. So wouldn't one need more than just the expense to justify the three-level enhancement under Section 2J1.2B2?
Well, Your Honor, this is not a situation such as in Durham, a case in Duran that is cited by a defendant where the government is saying that the cost of prosecution is being assessed against the defendant. In this case, we presented evidence during the sentencing that a small police department, the Lincolnshire Police Department, spent 3 weeks, the better part of 3 weeks, every day, multiple officers in that small police department, trying to track the defendant and this child. Additionally, there was several man-hours spent by the FBI in Mexico trying to find the defendant and ultimately trying to extradite her back to the United States. So there was considerable expense involved here, not associated with the simple prosecution of the defendant. If the court has no further questions, the government would rely on its brief and ask that this judgment be affirmed.
Certainly, counsel. Anything further, Mr. Holsinger?
In addressing Judge Rovner's question, I believe that the investigation and that's part of what happens in a charging of a crime, and to enhance the sentence on what you've already know that there's going to be an investigation and an arrest, that's what brought it here. Shouldn't kick in this three-level enhancement under 2J1.2 because it gets you into adding up the hours that the officers. What you're looking for is something that happens beyond that. I can't remember the case, but the one in which the father fled from every time the FBI got to an area, he moved to another country. That brought it to something more significant. Yes, so we do recognize that Judge Van Bocklin gave us a modification of the sentence because of what she served in Illinois, but if he's using the appropriate guidelines or not using these enhancements, we start at a different base level. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And Mr. Holsinger, we appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment in this case. The case is taken under advisement.